This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only you. Amen. There will be great earthquakes, famines, plagues, dreadful portents. They'll arrest you and persecute you. You will be betrayed. They will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. So get those pledge cards in, guys and gals. I do not choose the readings that are given to us each week, but I am asked on this Sunday to talk one time of the year about our stewardship of our financial resources. Now, Jesus talked more about money than he did about any other thing. So we all get off easy because we only do it one Sunday out of 52. But it doesn't diminish the importance of us to be on that path of stewardship with all parts of our lives, including our financial resources. But I think this gospel gives us a great insight into the importance of our motivation. Now, there are times, especially when we are on the beginning of our Christian walk, that a gospel like this might be the thing that sort of inspires us to give. Because, let's face it, we don't want to go to hell. And there can be that as a motivation, though I would say it is really the lowest form of motivation that there is. It's like my brother-in-law, who also always tells me when I go visit, well, I go to church just in case it counts. Now, we probably don't say that, but there is that part of us probably at times that becomes a motivating factor. Well, we need to go further than that for several different reasons. And one being it can become dangerous if that is our motivation, because it can become us sort of bargaining with God. God, I'm going to give this to you, and so therefore I forced God's hand so that God is going to let me into heaven as a result. It's a tit for tat, or to use a horrible expression we've all heard too much lately, quid pro quo, which was really popularized back in the Middle Ages in terms of this type of motivation I'm talking about, because we know our church history and the Reformation, that it came to a point where people could buy indulgences to basically buy their way into heaven, quid pro quo. And it doesn't work that way with God. You can't make yourself worthy because you already are. And that's the most important thing. We see this transactional idea all the time in advertising. Buy this car and the women will flock to you, men. Or women, eat this food and the men are going to flock and adore you all over the place. There's a famous one that I'm sure you've all seen, but I think it really makes this point. Let's watch this quick clip if we can.
Weil ich es mir wert bin.
Weil ich mir wert bin.
Ja, du magst es.
We're worth it.
Because you're worth it.
Because you're worth it.
Because you're worth it.
Because you're worth it.
We're worth it.
Weil ich es mir wert bin.
Weil ich es mir wert bin.
Weil sie es sich wert sind. Tulovalis.
Because you're worth it.
Weil ich es mir wert bin.
Because you're worth it.
Parce que je vaux bien.
Мы этого достойны.
Weil sie es sich wert sind.
Perché io valgo.
Perché il potere.
Perché ti rivela.
Wir sind es uns wert.
Because you're worth it. Now, it would seem, at first glance, that this is a transformational kind of a message, but really underneath it, what they're telling us is, buy this product and you will feel worthy. And we don't have to buy anything to feel worthy. We already are. You might remember this next slide with what was called the Fire Festival that was in some island of the Bahamas, and they even advertised it as a transformative experience. It was a transaction. Everybody gave their money, and if you remember the news, they all went there, and it was horrible, and they didn't have preparations for all the people, and they had nothing but problems. Transaction versus transformation. This is what the differential is for us. And you might be wondering, well, what does this all have to do with stewardship of our financial resources? Well, I say all this to lead up to telling you a story that I think helps me and hopefully helps us to understand why this is all important. At the end of my sabbatical, I was able to spend the last weekend in California, not only to see our daughter Demery, but my best friend Michael, and also go back to one of the churches that I used to attend a lot when I was out there working on my Doctor of Ministry degree, All Saints in Beverly Hills. And I got there, as it happens, on the week after they had just installed their new rector, Reverend Janet. And she told this story about herself. She was 12 years old, and a group of boys at the school came up to her and told her, and by the way, she said they were the three cutest guys in the class, that they all wanted to invite her to the school dance, but they were fighting over her, and they couldn't decide how to pick which one would get to invite her to the dance. So they devised a plan. Out in the schoolyard, there was this huge green box that they used to go into to play. And so their plan was that Janet was to go into this box, and one by one, the boys would come into the box, and she could secretly tell them which one she chose. For a 12-year-old girl, this was amazing. She said it was one of the most happiest moments of her life. And she said she felt like she was floating. So she went into the box and got underneath, and she waited. And she waited. And she waited. And finally, after a long time, she decided, they're not coming in, I need to get out of the box. And when she did, there stood the three boys, along with the rest of her class, laughing at her. She was devastated. She said, my response to this was running into the girls' bathroom and just thinking to myself, I will never, ever expose myself to this kind of ridicule again. How could I have possibly been vain enough to think that this was true? What kind of fool was I? I'm going to be much more careful in the future. I am never going to risk something like that again. Isn't that like the story that's the first one in our Bible of Adam and Eve? They get deceived by the devil, and as a result, they get ashamed of themselves. They literally cover themselves. And what do? They go and they hide. If there would have been a girl's bathroom, that's probably where they would have gone. The point is this. We have those things happen to us all the time in our lives. I would venture to say that the most important reason why we exist in this place at St. Joseph's is to provide an atmosphere for healing to take place for all of those things that happen to us, like happened to Janet in her life. That's the reason we're here, for each other. From the youngest to inspire them to know that they are worthy and loved by God, to our teenagers who face so many difficult decisions every day of their lives, to the oldest and frailest of us that need to be reminded of how much we too are worthy and loved. We can place our hope in the wrong things. The gospel today. You remember the Sadducees last week? They had placed all their hope in their current position and the temple that they had. And what does Jesus tell them? All this is coming down. It's not going to last. Those of you who were gifted with going to the Holy Land with us, this is all that remains of that temple. A bunch of stones. Look at the next slide. Remember the pinnacle of the temple where Jesus was tempted by the devil? Where they blew the shofar to announce the Sabbath every week. This is just a reconstruction. Go to the next slide. There's our pilgrims from our pilgrimage there standing what's left of that pinnacle of the temple. It was unfathomable for those Jewish people that that incredible castle of a temple could ever be destroyed. Look at the size of those stones. And yet, reduced to rubble. Now, this happens to us as well. We get to a stage in our life where we start to put our hope in a lot of things that are not necessarily going to last. The Sadducees placed their hope in this temple. It was destroyed in 70 AD, and guess what? The Sadducees disappeared shortly thereafter. In all of our lives, there is going to be that metaphorical end of the world. In all of our lives, the thing that we thought we could not live without, we're suddenly going to find ourselves in a position where I need to. And we need to find out that just because that thing is gone, it doesn't mean my worthiness and my lovableness is gone. We lose people in our lives who we thought, I can't live without him or her. And yet, in a faith community, we help each other through it. And to know that there is change, there is transformation, but there can be life on the other side for us. This is what St. Joseph's is all about. Everything that we do here is to help one another on this journey to continue to be transformed day by day. Remember, I talked last week or 2 weeks ago about that incredible experience I had with the labyrinth in Croatia. We put that slide up. Remember that there were two labyrinths right next to each other, the labyrinth of freedom and the labyrinth of transformation. The labyrinth of freedom on the left is the one you walk first because we need to come to a point of realizing our freedom in Jesus that he gives us And it is only then that we can enter into that walk of transformation. We are here to help each other not only to realize that freedom that we have, that worthiness, but then to walk with each other to help transform each other in Christ. Now, that can be a hard thing at times. But as a friend of mine who taught public speaking when I was in college, he used to always say, act it through until it's you. Meaning we start acting transformed and we become transformed. You start doing things that go beyond yourself to help others, and suddenly that external action starts to get internalized. It's the same with our financial resources. It says a lot about what we think about God. So today is the day when we are asked to continue on that process of transformation. Everything that we do at this church, and it's an incredible amount of ministry that goes on here, is because of the pledge dollars that we commit to this place every year. If you're new to St. Joseph's, the process in the Episcopal Church is that the pledges come in, the vestry, as the governing body of the church, then makes a budget for the next year based on the pledges that we have committed to. And everything that we do and have here, from the light bulbs, from the air conditionings, or today maybe the heat, to the salaries that are paid, to the programs, to the events that we put on, all of that comes from the pledge dollars that we choose to give. So your gifts are important and appreciated. But as with most things, there's a time frame, and the vestry has to get the budget together for January. So that is why we have this specific time frame when we ask that these pledge cards be given. And as Chris, I think, said last week, these pledges do not carry over automatically from year to year. So we are asked to submit a new pledge card each and every year. I think in closing, perhaps synchronistically, perhaps it was the Holy Spirit, that our stewardship song this year that we'll listen to at announcements is based on a 1980s song by the band REM. And the original title of that song is, "It's the End of the World as We Know It." Well, metaphorically, our current world is going to end. These temples are going to fall down, as it does in all of our lives. But just because our world is going to end, it doesn't have to be the end of the world for us. And it is through this faith community that we help each other to continue to be transformed. May it be so for each one of us. Amen.